This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. I certainly am. Can you believe that it is already Friday? I mean, it's not Friday. It's Thursday. I can't believe it's Thursday. In my mind, it's Friday. Oh, thank goodness. Thank you, Jesus. We have an extra day. All of that being said, oh my goodness, how time flies. Sometimes we get ourselves caught in a time warp. Maybe that's happened to you too, and maybe you've done that. I think part of the reason is because we had Monday off, and you know, sometimes when you have a holiday like that in the middle of the week or at the beginning of the week, your clock is all off. You know, you're either constantly catching up, or you think you're ahead, or you're falling behind. Anyway, I'll tell you what I'm happy about. I'm happy that we're together right at this very moment, spending this time to have some holy conversation about our Lord Jesus Christ, Father God, the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Mother, all the saints and angels, and everything good about our Catholic faith. We are so blessed, so blessed, so blessed. And, you know, we certainly do want to hear from you. We are a live show, and that means that you can interact with us. The way that you do that is by giving us a call at this toll-free number if you're in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. We're available for you outside of North America as well. Country code 1-205-271-2985 is the number for you to use. Let me give it to you again. Country code 1-205-271-2985. When you do call in, you're going to speak with Matthew Kubensky. He is our call screener. Please let him know if you're a first-time caller, and we will ring our welcome bell for you for your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. Also, I want to let you know that you can reach us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Both of those opportunities have chat features. Use the chat feature, put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement in there. And Jeff Burson, who is back in the saddle again, he's here with us today. He's our producer. He will go on out there, retrieve that question. He'll get it up on the board for me, and I'll be able to address it and, you know, at least give you some insights about it. I hope. If you're a first-time submitter, do let us know that. And once again, what are we going to do? We are going to ring our bell to welcome you for your debut with us here on Women of Grace Live. Again, that toll-free number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Well, all kinds of good things going on. Yes, indeed. And I am so grateful to God for that. In the midst of all of the misery of the day and time in which we live, you know, there is always, always the sun shining on us. And I mean the S-O-N. Jesus Christ is always with us. He never abandons us, never leaves us. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that, especially when we go through testy moments. You know, have you ever been through a testy moment? You know, this is, you know, one of those times in your life where things are not making sense, and or you're having difficult discussions, and or you are facing a problem, and everybody has different points of view about it, and you're trying to come to some kind of an accord, some kind of an agreement through the virtue of charity, and you know, emotions run high. I don't know if you've ever had moments like that, but I'm thinking that you have. You know, and what do we do in those moments? You know, what should we do? What would be the best thing to do? Well, the best thing to do in those moments is to hold up on the emotion, right? I think the best thing in that moment is just to kind of like, okay, let's dial this back a bit, you know, get control of yourself, you know, don't give in to the frenzy that you might be in. Don't give in to the irritability that might be rising. Don't give in to the way in which the evil one wants to take a situation and use it for his purposes, rather than for the purposes that God might have in mind for that situation. I've been doing a whole lot of research and study, basically, on virtue lately, because as I've been telling you, on our Journey to Jesus, Journeys with Jesus segment on Women of Grace Live that airs, Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern. But on the Friday episodes, they're teachings, and I've been exploring the 10 principal virtues of our Blessed Mother is outlined for us in St. Louis de Montfort's True Devotion to Mary. You'll find them in paragraph 108. And so, in looking at these virtues and really going into some, spiritual writers, classics really, on the virtues and discovering more about them, I've been very aware of the fact that these virtues are meant to be come, as we well know, holy habits. They're meant to be the modus operandi through which we live our life. And, this whole concept of control, and by this control, I don't mean an attempt to control others or control the outcome of a situation in the sense of wanting our own way. But I mean, basically this aspect of self-control, not allowing our emotion, not allowing our own wants and desires to be the driver of the way in which we operate in a situation, and to realize that everything comes by way of God's permissive will. When I was, working on the previous virtue. Right now, I'm working on mortification. But the previous virtue that we talked, that was one of Our Lady's predominant virtues, one of her 10 principal virtues, was her virtue of blind obedience. And obedience is not a word that we like very much in our day and time. We don't want to be obedient. We don't want to heed, authority. We want to be our own authority and govern our own will and action. But as I was studying that virtue, there is, obedience. How do we know what God's will is for us so that we can be obedient? Well, there's two ways. It's His signified will, and it's His will of good pleasure. And in our Women of Grace Foundational study, we go into that quite a bit. Signified will of God, of course, is the will that He makes known to us. It's signified, it's clear, and it's given to us in sacred scripture. It comes by way of the Ten Commandments, the teachings of the Church, the Eight Beatitudes, right? It comes to us by way of the prescriptions of the Church, how the Church takes scripture, and we begin to live out of scripture rather than trying to read into scripture. Right? And try to find, wait a second. I want to live this way. How can I justify this in scripture? That is not the way to do it. We want to live out of scripture. We want to live the gospel message. So His signified will, He makes it known to us in a very clear way. We know what we're supposed to do because we've got the guidance of scripture. We've got the guidance of the Beatitudes. We've got the guidance of church teaching. But then there's His will of good pleasure. The will of good pleasure is God's permissive will. It's the will, the providential situations that occur in life. Everything happens by God's will. So when things are not going our way, we need to step back, quell the emotions, take control through the virtue of mortification, and say, what is God's will for me in this? That's hard. That takes self-mastery. But it's something that we're all called to if we want to live the abundant life of our Lord Jesus Christ and our fundamental call and vocation to holiness of life and sanctity. Going to be right back, 833-288-EWTN.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jonet Williams, and I am so happy to be with you today. I certainly am. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Please give me a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us today, right here on Women of Grace Live. We do love having that holy conversation with you. That number, once again, Matthew Kubinski being your call screener, will answer your call, 833-288-EWTN. Also, outside of North America, country code 1-205-271-2976. 1-877-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Want to let you know about EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. They're there for you. You can actually see me. I'm waving to you. I wish I could see you, but I can't. But I'm happy you can see me, so I'm waving to you. Very, very eager to receive your messages. You use the chat feature there to get a message to me. Jeff Burson, our social media manager and producer, will retrieve it and he will get it up on the board and we will be able to address it. I was talking about these virtues prior to the break there because my mind is filled with them since I am going to be in studio today and will be addressing one of them, so that they can air later on. They're not going to air today, but they're going to air later on. And, I was talking about, this whole concept of God's permissive will. And, oftentimes the permissive will catches us by surprise. We don't realize that everything comes by way of God's permissive will, that nothing happens outside of God's will. And that when people stand in opposition to his will, and there is an action of self-will that's thrown into the mix, well, God, that is a negative. For example, when we suffer greatly because of an illness, or we suffer because of the actions of another person against us, for example, or we lose a loved one, any of these things. It was never God's perfect will that man should suffer. It was never God's perfect will that man should die. But what does he do? Well, he allows these things and then he uses them for a greater good. We talk about that a lot here on Women of Grace Live. The point then is that when these situations arise that are uncomfortable or unpleasant, or we don't like them, or there's a reversal, or there's a contradiction, or we get a diagnosis that is difficult, or, our dreams are shattered for one reason or another. When these things happen, to exercise that other virtue, the virtue of mortification, what we want to do is to look at that situation and to ask the Lord, what are you saying to me in it now? You've permitted this to happen. So how do you want me to grow from this? What virtue would you have me practice in light of this? Are you calling me to greater obedience? Are you calling me to deeper prayer? Are you calling me to more self-control that comes by way of mortification? And generally speaking, these providential events that occur that are unpleasant or very painful, great suffering, God is inviting us to a greater good. What is the ultimate greater good? What was the greatest good that ever happened? Well, the greatest good that ever happened was the salvation of you and me. The greatest thing that ever happened was Christ's sacrifice for us on Calvary. So, we in these sufferings that we experience have an opportunity to enter into them by way of that suffering, to come into union with Jesus, that we can participate in the flow, if you will, of redemptive grace in the world, in our situation, but in the world at large. And it becomes reparative. It does something in us. It makes us, just like, the good that can come from that is greater than the evil, because God's never going to let evil have the last word. The good that comes is greater than the evil that was caused. So too, do we experience a taste of being made greater through the dying to self and that process of union with Christ than could have been achieved without it? Isn't that a big teaching, you see? And what does that do? Well, it turns the ways of the world on its head. We stop looking at the world through the lens of self-interest. We stop looking at the lens through a lens of self-pity, perhaps. We stop looking at the world through the distortion that's been caused by way of the sins committed against us, including the sins that we've committed against ourselves. There is this process of restoration that always comes by the release of redemptive grace. And when God restores, he restores greater. We see that in sacred scripture. He never puts somebody back together again as they once were. He puts them back together again better than they were. So, for example, when he cures someone from an illness or a disease or a disability in sacred scripture, he doesn't just heal the body, but he heals the soul. Your sins have been forgiven. Go and sin no more, right? So he raises them to a new level. It's beautiful. It's a God thing, you know? And so when we, you know, take these miseries of our life, no matter how they present themselves, no matter how big, how small, how they come packaged, no matter, when we take those and we are willing to do what Jesus did, to deny ourselves for the greater good, to literally take up that cross and follow in the footsteps of our Lord unto death, in this case, not bodily death, but death to self, death to a dream, death to a desire, death to self-will in all of its various forms and shapes. Even in a relinquishing of health for a greater good, meaning that if we have an illness and there's no repair for that illness in the natural, giving that to Christ in union with his sufferings will raise us to a level greater than we were, just as this cooperation in the corporate reality of sacrifice raises the world to a status greater than it was before. Do you see how that works? And this is why the saints could always cry out that the greatest cross was no cross at all, because they understood the magnificence of and the power of the cross. You know, in sacred scripture, St. Paul writes that, you know, that suffering, that the cross is a folly to the Jew, a folly to the Greek. But for those who are in Christ Jesus, what is it? It's the very power of God. It's the wisdom of God. So, you know, I don't know what you're dealing with today. I couldn't possibly know. But, you know, hey, we're facing all kinds of things, corporately and individually. And that's not the deal. We always will. We live in a broken and fallen world. It's redeemed, all right, but it's still broken and fallen. And the brokenness of it and the fallen nature of it is going to affect us. So the question is, what am I going to do in those moments? Am I going to see this as an opportunity for a greater good to come by way of it? Am I going to? Will I allow myself to? Can I succumb to my own perspective and be willing to at least taste and see that the Lord is good? You know? And I think that, you know, this is what happens in the lives of the saints, and you see it over and over again. And I mean, you can read their biographies. This is why it's so helpful to read the biographies of the saints, or to read the, you know, autobiographies of the saints. You know, because we see how it is that they plotted the path. You know, we see how it is that they moved forward, that they did not allow the machinations of the world, the machinations of the flesh, or the machinations of the devil to stop their progress. They could be momentarily paused in the progress, you know. They might even fall down, but they get back up again. They get back up. And I can tell you one thing of which I am absolutely certain and convicted of. I am convicted of the fact that you are called to be a saint. I am convicted of the fact that I am called to be a saint. We would not be baptizing Christ Jesus for anything less than that. We're meant to be this altar Christus in the world, not the same way a priest is, but nonetheless, to have the Christ light shining in us. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. That light is to shine in us and through us, to penetrate the darkness of the day and time, but also to penetrate our own darkness, you know? I get rid of the misery of our condition, you know? So, you know, the saints, you know, they, you know, some of them looked for the cross. Others of them embraced the cross when it came. I personally think we don't have to pray for suffering, because suffering is going to come. It's going to find us. God is not going to leave us where we are. He's going to take us to the more. The only way we get to the more is by dissembling where it is that we are, right? To get us to the there, because we'll just hold on to the here. We'll hold on to here. Here I am. We'll hold on to that. Here I am. Here I am. We'll hold on to the here. Because it hurts to let go of it. It costs us something. But see, that's the benefit of living in Christ Jesus. Because it's him suffering in us. It cost him everything on the cross. To his last drop of blood. What about us? I guess that's what I would ask. What about us? I don't know. Maybe you have, been tested recently or in the past, and you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good in it. You know, why not call us and tell us about it? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live. I do love talking with you. So when these phone lines light up, it really does put a smile on my face. It makes me very happy. See, I'm smiling now just in anticipation of the call that you're going to make. 833-288-EWTN. We have EC out there on YouTube. And EC says, hi, after discerning and making a decision, how do we know when to take a step forward when nothing is happening? I know the decision I have to take, but I don't see God's guidance. Well, you see, this is an interesting question, and I would answer it by this. Until you take the step, nothing will happen. And once we take the step, our job is to wait for the Lord to show us the next step. You know, this is the way that faith is built. We take the step, and when we take the step, it's like an ignition switch. It starts to turn things on. The supernatural comes into the natural, but it doesn't always come in our time. It comes in his time. So what do? We give fiat to what we know. We give fiat to what we know. Take our Blessed Mother. Take her at the moment of the Annunciation. What was going on there? You know, the angel comes. The angel announces to her that she has found favor with God, that from all eternity, God was planning for her to be the mother of the incarnate God, the Word made flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ. She was going to be the mother of the Messiah. Now, Mary queried, how can this be since I do not know man? This was not a statement of disbelief. It was a statement desiring to cooperate with the will of God. And the angel says, well, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. You're going to, conceive by the power of the Most High. And he goes on and tells her a lot of other things, right? And what does Our Lady do? Is that a satisfactory answer? Well, if it were me, I would be saying, well, can you explain to me exactly how that works? Can you tell me, how is the Holy Spirit going to come? And am I going to know when he comes? Or, I would want to know these things, but Mary didn't do that. Mary said, yes. She gave fiat. What does fiat mean? Fiat means an act of total self-surrender. She held onto nothing of herself in that moment, but gave it all away to God. And then what happened? Woo! Holy Spirit came, descended upon her. She conceives, right? And she is led to go and visit her cousin Elizabeth, who then confirms that she's conceived. Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The moment your greeting sounded in my ear, the babe in my womb leapt for joy, right? She hears all that. And so it's confirmed, right? So, did Mary, I can't imagine being overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, not knowing it. So Mary knew that, but now God gives her this confirmation through Elizabeth, who recognizes who Mary is, but more recognizes who the child is that she's carrying. Did Mary have the rest of the story at that point? No. She didn't have the whole story when she gave fiat. She didn't have the whole story when she visited Elizabeth. She didn't have the whole story when she had to go to Bethlehem for the sentence. She didn't have the whole story when the Magi came. She didn't have the whole story when she had to flee to Egypt. She never had the whole story. Oh, I think she had indication of the end. She knew that the Messiah was going to be the suffering servant. But did she have it plotted out for her? No. But at every turn, she gave fiat. Now, our Blessed Mother was preserved from the stain of original sin, but it doesn't mean that she didn't grow in sanctity. She did. And with every fiat that she gave, more and more of the life of God took up residence within her. I mean, she was already full of grace, but it was intensified, right? Qualitatively, it became even more than that, which we can't even begin to imagine. But that's the case. So what do I say to you? I say, you take the step forward once God makes known to you what that step is. And when nothing happens, then you just wait. If you cannot take the step forward because the door hasn't opened yet, you pray. You pray to be fit, and you pray for the grace to persevere and walk through the door when the door is made known to you. Waiting is tough, but there's a whole theology on waiting, actually. And that theology of waiting, you know, is indicates to us that life grows in this fallow, what we see as a fallow period. It's not fallow at all. God is about doing what? He's about preparing us for that which he is calling us to. So take heart. You're in a good place. And I like it. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Phone lines are open for you. You can join our EC out there on YouTube or on Facebook, and you can leave your question or comment for us there in the chat feature. We have Maria on the phone, and I'm excited because she's a first-time caller. She is listening to us on Sirius XM Station 130 in San Antonio, Texas, and I'm ringing my bell for you, Maria, with great joy.
Thank you. Well, first of all, Jeanette, I just wanted to say that all of your words and message this morning has really resonated with me. I was laid off of work right before Lent, and so look, kind of end of March, beginning of April, and I have just been on a huge just spiritual journey since then. A lot of waiting, you know, a lot of kind of anxiousness to get back into my career, especially when it was at the probably at the peak and the top of my game. And
Well, Maria, let me ask you to pause. Don't go away, but we're going to a break, and I've got to take this break. So stay with us. I want to hear about this journey because this is something important for all of us. Stay with us. And so, friends, we're going to be right back. 833-288-EWTN is the way you can join us today.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Jeanette Williams. I'm very happy to be with you today, and I am delighted to talk with you. So please do give us a call here. Here is the toll-free number. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. When you call in, Matt Kubensky will answer the phone. If you're a first-timer, let us know, and I will ring the bell for you to welcome you for your debut. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can use the chat feature there. Jeff Burson's going to collect it, put it up on the board, and we will be happy to address it. Maria is on the phone with us. She is calling us from San Antonio, Texas, listening to us via Sirius XM Station 130. She's a first-time caller, so I rang my bell, but I'm going to ring it again because I love to ring it. And she has been going through a big period of waiting. She is in between jobs, or has been in between jobs, and God is really using this time in her life. So Maria, I want you to pick up where you left off. You were telling us that, you know, this has been a long haul for you. And you needed to hear what we were talking about today with regard to these periods of waiting, et cetera. So pick on up and share the rest of the story with us.
So I'm still in my period of waiting. And while I've been in this time, I've really just uncovered a lot of areas of blindness that I were kind of blind spots for me. One of them just being impatience and having to realize how I need to work on being patient with myself and patient with God and kind of waiting for him to direct the new steps. I'm a very type A person who wants to get things going and check the box. And I've really tried to learn to use this time to volunteer, to take the Eucharist to the sick and to the people that can't make it to church. I've tried to help, you know, people who have just needed a helping hand. And a lot of these things have been put to the wayside because work and priorities and responsibilities. But I also say, just from a personal standpoint and spiritual, I felt like I needed a break from just the stressful environment of work. And this time has really been about healing for me. Also, just emotionally and spiritually. So while it has been a little uncomfortable, I think you mentioned earlier that, you know, God had to go through a period of waiting and in the desert, and we all have to embrace this time and make the most of it, because it, in its own way, it's a blessing.
Well, Maria, you know, first of all, I just want to thank you so very much for sharing your story, because there are so many beautiful lessons built in here, and it's a beautiful witness. What I love, first of all, about the fact is that you were cooperating with the grace of God in terms of self-knowledge. And St. Teresa of Avila says, you know, there is no growth in the spiritual life without self-knowledge. And you were willing to take a hard look at yourself and see, okay, so what are these areas within me that are preventing me from developing and being the person that God intends for me to be? Where are those blind spots? And that's true. You know, we're all poor self-observers. You know, none of us really sees ourselves clearly, but the Holy Spirit does come and he does give us intimations in our heart, in our time of prayer, but also through other people that can help us to see, okay, look, this is an area where I really do need to grow in virtue. This is an area where I really do need to die to self. This is an area where, you know, I really need to try to develop a closer relationship with the Lord. And you know, are exercising a beautiful virtue in being able to do that. And that's the virtue of humility, you know, to rightly appraise yourself. That's what humility is, to rightly appraise ourselves, meaning that we see where we are making progress. We see the progress that we've made, but we also see that we fall short of the glory of God. Therefore, we must move forward. So being able to honestly appraise that through the light of grace and illumination of heart is a major feat. That's a big deal thing. So God has really, it's true. You know, just thank God, because this comes by way of his grace. And it's even grace to be able to cooperate with grace. So all good things come by way of him. But you have been receptive. And that is such a Marian charism, Maria. I mean, it's so of your name. You're so receptive. The other thing is, I like the fact that you recognize that this is a desert time, and that, yeah, deserts are uncomfortable. You know, it's really hot. And sometimes, you know, in the desert, you know, what is God doing? I mean, he really is allowing us to experience the fire of purgation. Right? So there is that fire of purgation that happens in the desert. So, you know, he's showing you these areas. He wants to basically burn this out of you so that you can be this fire tried gold that he longs for you to be. But in addition to that, you know, what was Jesus doing in the desert? Well, he was fasting. You know, he was voluntarily offering up you know, and sacrificing for the sake of the mission that God was calling to him. You may not have put yourself into the desert. This may well be a providential action of God that nonetheless is meant to yield the same fruit. So it may well be that this is a providential action of God through which he wants you to offer up this time, this discomfort, for what it is that he's preparing you to do. Jesus was being prepared for public ministry. You may well be being prepared for the next step. And so while there is that element of sacrifice, as we were talking about early on, that sacrifice permits what? It permits redemptive grace, or the life of God, to flow more freely in us. So what is happening there? Even as the sacrifice is being offered, we are being made greater because of it. So this is a time of infilling for you. So we mortify for the sake of what? We mortify for the sake of the infilling. It's the emptying out. The Greek word for that is kenosis. It's an emptying out. Jesus emptied himself out fully. St. Paul talks about that in Philippians 2. He divested himself, right, of his divinity to take on the flesh of man and to become the servant of man. It was an emptying out for our Lord by which he divested. For us, when we empty out, it's analogous. We're emptying out of self. We're emptying out of that. But it's for a great, it's so that we can be filled up with something greater. Jesus emptied out to be filled up with something less, human nature. We empty out. This is the beauty, yeah, and the wonder and the majesty of God. We empty out so that we can be filled up to be more of. So this is a beautiful time. And I would, you know, obviously you're discerning, you know, what God are you calling, you know, and it can be a time too, Maria, where you're being called a new mission. So I would not put that outside of the realm of possibility. I would pray about that. Lord, has this time of desert been prolonged? Has my waiting time been prolonged because you want to work something in me and out of me that is different, that is going to take me into something greater than I could have imagined? And I'm not talking necessarily about, you know, just monetary benefits. I'm really talking more about, you know, in greater service to him for the building up of the kingdom. I have no idea. But boy, am I going to be eager to know.
Well, I will keep you posted. And if I could have you and all of your callers keep me in your prayers to continue to be open to God's journey and God's blessings and gifts in my life, I would greatly appreciate that.
Okay, let's pray for that right now, Maria. Okay, so, and I want to ask all of you, too, to come into this moment of prayer, lifting up our hearts and our minds to Jesus as this mystical body of Christ brought together through these electronic means. Father God, we do come before you in this moment, and here is your daughter, Maria. And, oh, Father, it tickles me to no end that she was named for your mother. What Marian characteristics she has. And I'm going to ask, Lord, that in this time of waiting, in this time of desert, that you would continue to increase those Marian virtues in your daughter, that you would continue to work in her in a magnificent way through the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Father, I thank you for the humility of your daughter, and I thank you for the patience that she is experiencing. She's saying that she lacks patience, but here, Lord, I see an attitude of patience, and I'm so delighted, Lord, that already the fruits of this time are being made manifest to her and to all of us in the process. Father God, I pray that as she continues this process, this journey with you, that you would be working into her every spiritual blessing in the heavens that she will need to have to be able to fulfill this next chapter, this next chapter in this dramatic and lovely book of life that you have entrusted to her. Father, I ask too that when it is your providential time, you're never too early, Lord, and you're never too late. When it is the providential time, I pray that your daughter will have the eyes to see it and recognize it and rush toward it, Lord, putting all of herself into it, you know, surrendering all of herself to it, that all of the glory that is you might be found in it and through it. And so it is that we lift up Maria, her intentions, all of the intentions of those who are joined together today in this prayer. We offer it to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady, in Jesus' name, amen.
Beautifully done, Johnette. Thank you so much for that beautiful prayer.
Oh, you're so welcome. It was really a joy. Thank you so much for your call, Marie. I really appreciate it. And I am going to wait to hear back from you.
Yes, I will keep you posted.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now. Oh, my goodness sakes. Isn't that lovely? So you see, you know, it is possible that these are not just words, that these things do happen. And I think that we can all look back and see moments in our life when they have happened. And it's good to keep those moments in mind, you know, as the Lord is opening up a new providential event that we might not have planned on, right? We can see that he does work all things to the good. And in the time, you know, in that sacrifice, we never give up that he doesn't give more. He just amazes me, this God of ours. He's so good. Let's get to Ruth. Ruth is calling us from Easton, Pennsylvania this morning. She is with us via YouTube. How are you doing there, Ruth?
It could be better. Here's George. Say hi.
Hi, George. How are you?
Okay.
Good. You feeling okay, George? You feeling
okay, George?
A bit better than I was. I'm still in a lot of pain.
Oh, my goodness sakes. Yeah. Well, here's what I'm confident you know what to do with that pain. You know, and yeah. God's not entrusted it to you for no good. He's got a great good to come out of that pain. But we do ask, Father, that in this moment you would give your son the capacity to bear the pain for the period of time that the pain lasts. And that's the important part there, right? It's not that we don't seek medical attention or medical help or that we don't take medication. It's not that. But it's for the duration of time that the Lord wants the pain to last, that we offer it in union with him and with his sufferings. And I know you're doing that, George, because you're a good man.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, we're hoping we can still make it to Malvern. I'm in the hospital right now.
Oh, shoot. And, what's going on?
It's one of my flare-ups, and there's a lot of pain because I'm actually doing better overall, and I'm doing more, so the pain is, and I'm getting old, more arthritis, and so it's a little different, but it's pretty much the usual change of season kind of thing. The heat, we're having a heat wave, speaking of the desert, and Maria, I put you in my heart, and that's how I offer my prayers up to God, so I just want her to know that. So I want to talk about something called the middle ground. Okay, that in my body, I have to find the middle ground, not to overdo it, you know. And right now, I think God's just saying, be still. You need to be still a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had called yesterday because I have a therapist who is into yoga. And in my particular mission from God, I'm called to stand in the gap. And in this day and age, a lot of us are, right?
Yes.
And I'm also called to be like a suffering soul to offer that up.
Yes.
So my spiritual director said, you'll know when it's time to go. And right now,
to go where?
To go away from my therapist rather than, you know, stay there.
Oh, I see. Okay, to find somebody else. All right. I just wanted to be clear on what we were talking about here. Okay.
Yeah. So she's been talking about mindfulness and stuff lately. And I'm like, well, the seeds I'm planting, they need to be watered a little more and see what happens and then see what happens. Because I'm not only concerned for myself, but she does let us speak about God a lot. And she has a lot of people do the rosary now. She's comparing rosary to meditation. And it's not the same. So I'm just going to bring that up to her in our next session. And she's very open to hearing what you say, et cetera, et cetera. But if that doesn't work, I think it's time for me to leave. So, but I'm very concerned for those other souls that go there. And she thinks, well, holding on to the rosary, that's going to get you through. No, praying the rosary is what's going to get you through. So, I hope I'm doing the right thing is what I'm saying. And like in the middle ground, also for ourselves, you got to keep yourself away from being no sin. So you don't fall into mortal. So when you're in the middle, you got to make sure you don't fall. You know what I mean? And that's what's been on my mind. So I was wondering what you had to say about that.
Sure. Well, thank you. This is all very good. And there's a variety of things to talk about here. So let's talk about the middle. So Thomas Aquinas talks about the via media. And what does he mean by that? It's the way of the middle. It's the way of the mean. It's the way of balance, right? Now, when he's talking about that, he's talking about it with basically the assumption that we're striving to live a life of holiness. And he's talking about extremes that we can fall into when we're striving to live a life of holiness. We can fall into the extreme of being near fanatical about it and enter into unhealthy practices. We were talking about mortification. There was a period in the history of the church in the Middle Ages, you know, where self-flagellation and cutting oneself, etc., was kind of like the way in which people mortified the flesh. Today the church doesn't teach us that. And even then, you know, some of the saints that came shortly thereafter talked about, yes, we mortify the flesh, but is that the way to do it? So, you know, we talk about the middle ground here in the sense of striving to remain well-balanced in our pursuit of God. So we can fall on the extreme of fanaticism, being, you know, very radical in an unhealthy way, thinking that we are exercising virtue. Or on the other hand, we can flag in our effort thinking that we've attained the virtue already, or thinking that, you know, I can do this and God's going to forgive me, or whatever the case may be. So the saint is saying is that we don't want to err on the side of presumption, you know. We want to obtain, or try to attain, better stated, that middle ground. Now, when it comes to, so we're never in a, and I guess this is what I want to say. We're never compromising virtue. We're never compromising the good. I think that you know that already, but I think it's important to point it out. And it's important to understand what the middle ground is meant to be. Take your health, for example. You know that if you overdo it, it's going to cause you problems. If we overdo, it's going to cause us, if we become unhealthy, thinking that we're doing something in a way that is pleasing to God, but it's not, then it's going to cause us problems. On the other hand, if you underdo, then you're not using the strength that you have. You're not helping those muscles to continue to remain as strong as they can be, and you're gonna fall into misery there. So that's virtue. We want to exercise the muscle, but we want to exercise it appropriately, and we want to exercise it according to the way in which God would have us exercise it. This is why it's so valuable to have a spiritual director, which you do. That's helpful because we can, you know, and we're told all through literature, obviously we're to enter into voluntary penances and things like that. So don't misread what or hear what it is that I'm saying. But, you know, when we want to begin to do things that are somewhat extraordinary, then we want to consult our spiritual director and only do it under spiritual direction and with spiritual guidance. So there is that. With regard to your yoga instructor, your therapist that uses, you know, all of these modalities that really are not Christian in her practice, you know, you need to follow and heed what your spiritual director tells you to do. He says you'll know when it's time to go. What I hear is in your voice is that time probably is approaching. That maybe that time has arrived. So if there's a reluctance to move forward in that, then you need to ask yourself why. So why am I reluctant to move in this direction? Is it because I don't have another therapist? Is it because I don't want to go through all of the preliminary getting to know you stuff that you have to do with a therapist? I don't want to work through all that again. This therapist knows me. She tells me something that's very good and very helpful for me.
It's more for the other people that are going to her more than,
okay,
than myself.
Well, so this Ruth, is what I would say with regard to that. Your maternal heart is beautiful. You feel a desire to be present in a protective way for these people, and that's a beautiful thing. The best way you can protect them is by praying for them. So, you know, I God's not asking you to save those people. He's asking you to pray for those people so that he can save those people. So, you know, unless you're actively telling these people that these are questionable actions, I don't know what more you could do. And you could let them know if you're in a group situation, you can let them know why it is you're leaving. You could do that and just say, this is, you know, as much as I care for all of you and as much as I've benefited in many ways, you know, I can no longer straddle this fence. And that's what you've got to ask yourself. Is this a middle ground, or are you straddling a fence here? And only you can answer that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, actually, we started out that way. I actually said, well, against my religious values, I don't want to do it. And we started out that way, and things seem to be progressing. She accepted my St. Benedict medals, this and that, and then all of a sudden, here we go back again. And so this, it's like, I think this is the last test, and if not, I'm leaving.
Well, there you go. And that's, you know, I think that once you come to that decision, then you know which you have a way to move forward here. So I think that that's good. I do. Well, there you are. You finished us up here today, Ruth, and I'm grateful for that. And Karen, I'm sorry I didn't get to you, first time caller, but I'm still going to ring my bell for you. And I am absolutely delighted that you called. And I hope you'll call us back again next week, Karen. Or no, wait a second. It's not Friday, Johnette. It's still Thursday. Call me tomorrow, Karen. Start us off tomorrow. I would absolutely love that. Start us off tomorrow, Karen. I'll look forward to it. I always look forward to being with all of you right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation. Get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. All kinds of good things happening. Watch us on EWTN television at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. I love you all. Pray for me. I'm praying for you. God bless you now. Bye.